This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagadumpke Pag, and joining me today, Ian McNally. Goodbye, Christopher Robin is now in cinemas, long overdue. The movie was actually released late last year in the United States and I believe the UK as well. It's directed by Simon Curtis. It stars Donald Gleeson, Margot Robbie, Kelly McDonald, and Will Tilston and Alex Lawther, who play C.R. Milne or Billy Moon or Christopher Robin, right?
It's the Christopher Robin.
The actual Christopher Robin. The movie is based on Anne Thwaite's 1990 biography of A.A. Milne, Christopher Robin, and of course the creation of Winnie the Pooh. And this is a saccharine sweet retelling of that story with... which takes a turn in the third act into something somewhat darker.
It's. I think saying it's saccharine is a bit of a disservice. It's an odd movie from start to finish. We should say as well that this is not the Disney Christopher Robin movie that we're getting later. This is a lot more deep impact than Armageddon when it comes to your twin movies.
Yes.
It's basically a period drama more than anything else.
Correct.
I mean, there is one moment, I think, Flight of Fancy, where A.A. Milne is playing with his kid. They're forced together because this is also a good example of like how not to bring your kids up.
It's a good example of how to deal with a kid who's experiencing an unhappy childhood because of you as a parent.
I mean, the whole thing is like how not to parent. Like it's that old-fashioned kind of thing where the children are seen, not heard, raised by nannies and by staff, and the parents just continue living their carefree life. And that causes a lot of problems. And then on top of that, you add fame from a book that came from a bonding experience, and it adds to it more.
Donald Gleeson plays A.A. Milne exceptionally well. I mean, and you know, there's a justification for why he is the way he is. He's come back from World War One. He's absolutely traumatized. He's got PTSD.
I did not expect this at all.
I did not expect this at all, right? And what's more, there is this overarching mood that, oh my God, this can never happen again. Because if this war happens again, we're all done for. What are we doing? What are we living
the
for?
Great
Our
war,
children are just going to go off and die again.
Yeah. I mean, he has to go from the horrors of the Somme to the horrors of London, where they just refer to it as that ghastly business, and try to move on because it's impolite. That's head-wrecking.
It is. Now, what was interesting for me, which I thought was a weird decision, was making Margot Robbie the villain of the piece.
Yeah, she's completely unlikable for 99% of the movie.
She plays Christopher Robin's mum, A.A. Milne's wife, Daphne, right? Daphne de Selincourt or Daphne Milne. And she's completely detached from reality. She's completely selfish.
And well, she's attached to reality, but it's the part, it's the party life reality of someone in their 20s living in London and having the high life.
Yes.
It's not that of a mother living in the countryside with her kid. Like she's
Well, she doesn't want to go to the country at all, right? I mean, she loves London. The only reason they moved to the country is so A.A. Milne can write and
get away from everything that reminds... Every loud noise and everything else that goes off reminds him of bombs going off and shell shock.
And the reason I say it's an interesting decision is because I don't know if Daphne was like that in real life. I mean, I was reading some articles in the New York Times and they kind of quote Christopher Robin as saying that, you know, his mother helped A.A. Milne a lot in coming up with the characters and kind of retracing what the little boy used to do and reciting how he used to play games with his toys. But at the same time, there were darker moments as well between Daphne and Christopher Robin that have been in popular recountings of their story. So I don't know how much of it is true, but she ends up, I mean, she's amazing, but she ends up being something of a caricature.
Yeah. I mean, Margot Robbie, she feels like more like Harley Quinn than some of the other characters Margot Robbie's ended up playing.
Yeah.
Christopher Robin gets to be a fully rounded... The young actor, Will Tilston, is fantastic.
He's so good. He looks exactly like him.
Yeah, there's moments that you see the illustrator, Ernest Howard Shepherd, and they're just looking, and he just says, oh, look. And it's just Christopher Robin swinging around with his bear. And, it, you know,
and
it
you've
doesn't
seen
look,
that image,
It
right?
doesn't look like the Disney Pooh, but you've seen that image that would... And we've been talking about this movie a lot, but we've kind of, I think, missed over the whole point, which is that like, yeah, it starts off explaining who these people are, and it goes quite a long way before we even get to the kid kind of dreaming up his Winnie the Pooh world and the father using that as a basis for his books. But that's about a halfway point. After that, it's still going into what happens after that and what the fame means for the family and everything. And that second half has an awful lot of incredibly touching moments that are related to the kid and also to the father. There's a moment with the illustrator. They're up on this...
They're up on the hill.
I was up on the hill, and his friend Ernest just looks out, who's played by Stephen Campbell Moore.
An amazing performance, because he stops dead in his tracks.
Yeah, and he looks out, and he's looking across the fields of England, and he's saying, like, it's not changed. Like, you would expect after something so tremendous that's happened to the world that nothing was the same, but yes, this is the same.
No, but also... You think he's having a moment where he's going to go, oh my God, look at the tremendous beauty before us.
Yes.
But instead he goes, this is what it's going to be like in France, right? Where they're going to pretend like none of that happened. Like none of the war happened.
People will forget.
It's going to look like this. People will forget. And that transition, because you're not sure. When he stops in his tracks and he stares out into space, you're not sure.
Because it's very pretty.
If he's enjoying the moment or if he's completely traumatized, and it's the latter.
Yeah.
That was a great moment.
That's a great moment. And then it spins on a dime again, and it's back to a moment of pure joy with the kid.
Yes. And then on top of that, there is this cautionary tale of the personal cost of sudden fame.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the poisonous effect of sudden fame. I mean, because, that runs through the entire film.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's upper class couples or writing couples that just don't call each other by their actual names. Because
no.
I was like... Is he A.A. Milne? Why does everyone keep calling him Blue? And Christopher Robin is Billy Moon, because he couldn't say Milne. And I don't know what they called him, Billy, because they wanted to call him Millie, I think. Was that the that's some kind of justification there? So all these weird names, and it's like, well, I'm not Christopher Robin, I'm Billy Moon.
That's how the kid kind of detaches himself from this reality. He's speaking to a whole bunch of kids because he's forced to do all these radio interviews and newspaper interviews and go and for personal appearances at the zoo. And he goes, you know... Don't ask me my real name, because I'm not going to share that, because that's for us.
That's mine, yeah.
That's mine. That's for us and us alone, right?
If I give you my real name, it will grant you power over me.
Where's James Wan when you need him? Mm. For me, this is a very weird movie, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But the reason I say it's a weird movie is it reminded me a lot of Saving Mr. Banks.
Mm-hmm.
So Saving Mr. Banks kind of suggests that P.L. Travers wrote Mary Poppins because she had an abusive father and suicidal mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes the way you see Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
This movie kind of does the same. They know that Winnie the Pooh has absolute global reach and appeal. There is not, and the kid makes this point, is there a part of the world where someone hasn't heard of Winnie the Pooh?
And by the end of the movie, there isn't.
No. And yet, in this movie, when you watch this movie, it's going to be very difficult for you to reread those books with the same eyes.
Yeah. But it's also weird in its
And yet structure. It's made for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, I found it incredibly touching. I was crying the whole, the last 15, 20 minutes completely.
Stupid moment, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's beautifully done. But it's also odd. Like, there's a beginning framing device which doesn't really need to be there. And when you revisit that framing device later, it's different. It's not the same. Like, it's mostly silent.
You mean the montage in the beginning?
At the beginning, there's like a letter arrives.
Yes.
And what happens then is mostly silent. And when you see it later, there's some words which again paint Daphne as a more of a villain yet again. It's like, let's get a kick in one more time before we hit the running time. And I found that every moment that, while I was being incredibly emotional at these moments, it also seemed to be very hurried about getting on to the next one.
One moment in particular, after the nanny leaves and Daphne walks into his study.
Well, to defer for a second, Kelly MacDonald is fantastic.
Oh, she's amazing in everything.
Love this in Trainspotting, but in this, like, there's a moment just with her and she just, like, crumples.
Yes.
And that again, it's like, I've just finished crying. Why am I crying again?
But Kelly MacDonald's character leaves the household, right? She's got a boyfriend. She's going to get married. She has a showdown with the parents. She leaves. And she leaves a notebook with A.A. Milne. And she's like, you know, you've got to take care of him now. These are all his appointments.
Yeah.
And A.A. Milne, for the first time, realizes what they're putting their son through. And it's an incredibly poignant moment because he has a showdown with his wife. And he's like, he's a boy. He shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
But it cuts to the next scene with the both of them standing on the bridge, or the both of them standing in the zoo, almost immediately, almost too quickly.
Yeah, and it happens a lot. That moment, again, on top of the hillside we were talking about earlier, they have a beautiful moment there. And it lingers for a second, then it pulls away. Or playing poo sticks, the invention of poo sticks.
Yes.
Numerous times there's this, and there's a moment where they're sharing that. And it's like, right, you should probably either cut to a long shot and let the music play for a little
just
bit. Let's just a show, and life went on for a little bit, and it was nice. And instead, it's like, cut, next straight on. It feels a little bit TV almost in a way. Like, they didn't want to pull back too far. They couldn't get that long shot lens that they could to use. They just kept everything very close. So scenes just end abruptly and move on. Like, it wasn't cut. It just felt cut oddly.
That for me was one of my biggest complaints. And if I want to nitpick some more, there were two more things that really bothered me. Bad old people makeup.
Yeah, the when I saw, I first saw it, I was like, what's wrong with Donald Gleason? Like, he looks about 2 years older than he actually is. It just looks like he's had, like, he got some hair pomade that didn't quite work or was out of date.
They didn't quite age them appropriately. Even Kelly MacDonald wasn't aged appropriately. They just looked like someone put white powder in their hair.
Yeah, and also, I mean, the clothing, I don't know, I think the clothing of the era doesn't quite suit Donald Gleason an awful lot. Those long, shapeless pet trousers just look weird on him. They make him look like a string bean in pants.
Alex Lawther looks very, very little like Will Tilston.
Yes,
so this is the grown slightly up. Grown up Christopher Robin looks nothing like little boy Christopher Robin.
That happens.
It does, but it was... I mean, if you look at Donald Gleason and A.A. Milne side by side, there is a stunning resemblance.
Yeah.
Same with Christopher Robin.
But
right?
Not with the older
but
Christopher
But not
Robin.
With Alex Lawther.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar, I guess, to the change between Jake Lloyd and Darth Vader a little bit.
Really? You went there?
He goes from Muppet to Moper, in a way. I mean, yeah, there is that, but they still have some really good moments with that older actor. I think it works really well. It's visually jarring.
Visual jarringness aside, on the whole, the movie works really, really well. It had me, it hit me on all my emotional bits. I mean,
The BFM screening was full of sniffles and coughs and like, excuse me. Everyone was feeling very proper upper, stiff upper lip.
But in reality, I think there were some dissimilarities between the movie and real life. I think the real life Christopher Robin, from what I've read, didn't necessarily hate that life all that much. He had a conflicted relationship with it, and he never touched any of that money.
Yeah, well, which they say at the end of the movie. But I think this movie is the process of coming to that realization. I mean, it's called Goodbye Christopher Robin, not Goodbye Billy Moon.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, it is a father-son story, and the focus on that story is there throughout, and I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And it does that very, very well.
Very, very well. And some of those moments, there's a two-week period where they're left together with no nanny and nobody else, and they've never done this before. And some of that is comedy gold.
Oh, there's a great bit where he tells him about the knife and fork. He's like, don't hold your knife and fork that way.
When they're sticking straight up.
When they're sticking straight up. And the explanation that A.A. Milne gives Christopher Robin is hilarious. It is great. It is fantastic. It is from a father who has absolutely no clue how to raise a child.
Yeah, he's just making stuff up. And there's that genius is like, well, there's a lot of like just sweetness about, well, I guess we best be getting home. It's a lot of that kind of, it's not like let's go home. It's all very, not florid, but like nicely put. Everything is very nicely put that he says.
Okay, so I'm sure that was intentional, but I noticed that even from the get-go, even in those early scenes when Daphne wants to dance with A.A. Milne, the way she speaks, there are moments when it sounds like a rhyming couplet, when it sounds like you're reading something from a Pooh book.
Yeah.
And I think that's very intentional, and it works because it works on a subconscious level.
But by the end of it, it gives you a real insight into that character.
Yes,
it's like they wouldn't say things the normal way, but they just have this he has this kind of slightly askew way of looking at the world because he's a playwright and he's a writer. And I think that worked beautifully.
Good.
It's a lovely
heartwarming
movie.
Yes. Heartening movie. I like it. I like it. Goodbye Christopher Robin is now in cinemas. You should go check it out. Let us know what you think when you do. I'm on @UmaPagan.
I'm on @McNastyPrime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.